with a strong hand shall he drive them out. Not only would have let them go, but said he'll be begging them to leave. He'll be pushing them out the door. Cause him so much trouble, he'll be glad for those children of Israel to leave. And when God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant, wherefore I say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they heard hearken not unto Moses for the anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord together. Now, you noticed all the I wills in this passage of Scripture. Now, I really didn't notice that until I got up here reading, and I believe we could just make a message out of that too if the Lord would give us liberty to do so. But he said, I will do these things. I will. He's guaranteeing them. He's not saying if everything works out right, this is my plan. If nothing falls apart, this is a schedule that I've got to set on. If you guys will go with me, we'll try to get something done. We'll do our best. No, he says, I will, because it's not counting on them, but it's counting on him. And he is more than able to take care and to fulfill his promise. And this is a passage in which Moses is going to the children of Israel and Egypt to preach a sermon of hope unto them. God says that he's going to lead them out of bondage by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. He commands Moses to go to Pharaoh and demand the people's release. In verse number 11, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 11, go in and speak unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and that he let the children of Israel go out of this land. He said, it's time for you to go to Pharaoh and tell him that the I am, the great I am, the great Jehovah said, let my people go. And he's already sent Moses to tell the people. And Moses tells them of how that God has revealed himself to him about the burning bush experience, about the promises of God, about the I wills of God, about the name of God Jehovah, the God Almighty. And he tells them all these things. But the Bible says that after he tells them all of that, the 10 plagues are about to begin, and my friend Pharaoh is going to get to the place where he's going to beg the children of Israel to go, please get out of this land. The Egyptians are going to give them money, paying them to leave. They gave them gold and silver and earrings and brass and all these things, and jewels, asking the children of Israel to please go and leave our land and to drive them out of the place. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, and the Scripture says, however, in verse number 9, that the Israelites hearkened not to the word of Moses, that they would not hear him because of their suffering, because of their anguish of spirit, because of the cruel bondage. They doubted God's plan. God, however, said unto Moses that he would keep his word and gave him confirmation of why and how he'd keep his word. In verse number 3, notice what it says. These great miracles would be accomplished because he was Jehovah. He says, I said, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. This name Jehovah means the I am. Oh yes, that's right. It means the self-existent one, the everlasting God, the eternal God, Elohim, Jehovah, the God that is forever, self-existent, draws his energy, his life, his power from none other but he, his God in and of himself.
He said, now I am Jehovah. But just before that, he said that he had revealed himself to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, that he was God Almighty. Now this name God Almighty, my friend, in the Hebrew is the name El Shaddai. El Shaddai. It means the Almighty Potentate, the source of all blessings, the God who's more than enough. Hallelujah to His name forevermore. It delivered them from out of Egypt by whatever means necessary, because whatever means were necessary were not outside of His abilities. He is the Jehovah, the I Am, the Almighty. El Shaddai, more than enough. Whatever it takes, I got it, Moses. Whatever you need, I'm there. Whatever measures must be taken, they're not outside of my power. Whatever must be done, not outside of my control. I am the I Am. I am eternal. I am forever. And I'm El Shaddai, more than enough. So he's saying to Moses, I am forever El Shaddai. I am forever more than enough. I am forever sufficient. I'm glad Ephesians 3:20 said, we're serving a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which we could ever ask or think. I praise His high and holy name. I feel that we've got a God that's not running out of power, and that's not growing weak, and that's not worried about what He's going to do. That He's more than enough. He didn't say, I'm enough, but He said, I'm more than enough. Amen. I'm God Almighty, El Shaddai. God that is the source of all blessings. The Almighty Potentate. The God that is more than enough. And that's where I want to preach. If the good Holy Ghost of God will help us and enable us and use us this morning on El Shaddai. The God that's more than enough. Oh, thank God. Jehovah is the I Am. El Shaddai is the more than enough. He's telling us, I am more than enough. And He's still the El Shaddai. You can know it, friend. Try Him. He's more than enough. I want to say, first of all, today, He's more than enough for hunger. He's more than enough for your hunger. Taste Him and He will please your spirit. He's more than enough for your hunger. Taste Him and He'll please your spirit. Amen. Now the Scripture says in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2, if as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you taste of the Lord is gracious. I mean, child of God, we've got a hunger for the Lord. We've got a hunger for the Word of God. But I want to tell you, El Shaddai is more than enough for your hunger. Taste Him and He'll please your spirit. I say to my friend, the book of Ezekiel, the Bible said in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse number 2 that the Word of God was gave unto Ezekiel, and Ezekiel did eat it, and it was unto his belly as a honey for sweetness. Amen. Woo! I tell you, in the days of Joel, the Bible said the beast did groan for hunger. Amen. They had empty silos and the starving sheep. But I'm glad there is bread for the hungry today. He's more than enough for your hunger. In the place, my friend, in the soul of man, there is a place that only God can fill. There is a void that only God can fill. For He formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And when man sinned, he condemned himself to death and became born of God and God's promises. But still within us, friend, there is something that only God can satisfy. And you may try to drown it in liquor or fill it with pleasures of this world. That takes only one thing. That's more than enough for your hunger. And that is El Shaddai. Woo! But I'll tell you, He can fill the void in your life. when nobody else can help, nobody else can do you any good. Nothing else can satisfy your soul. If you'll taste Him, He'll please your spirit. Amen. Amos chapter number 8, verse 11 said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north to the east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day the fair virgins and the young men shall faint for thirst." He said, "They'll be hungry, but it'll be a famine in the land." I'll tell you, we're living in a day of a spiritual famine. But I'm glad for the children of God. There's still bread for the hungry. Amen. Hey, He's more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He's sufficient. Would you taste Him? He'll please your spirit. The psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted and found out He's gracious? Have you tasted and found out He's good? Have you drank the milk? Sucked your biscuit of grace and the honey of God in the land of Canaan? I mean, if you'll taste Him, you'll find He'll please your spirit. It may sting your flesh. It may sting your sinful lifestyle. Now He'll please your spirit, man." Hallelujah. The people of God love to dine at the table of God. Amen. Hey, we'll be us having them family get-togethers for long. And Brother David, we'll go over there. I believe it's Christmas Eve. Your Sister Pam's or to your house or mine, somewhere or another. She'll probably want to have it somewhere else so somebody else has to clean up afterwards. And we'll go up to one of them places. And we'll have some sort of something or other to eat. And we'll eat till we just can't stand no more. How better is to sweat out till you got to loosen the notch on your belt. Go home and unbutton your pants and loosen the knots on your belt. Just kind of split open and lay there and let your belly flop. I mean, them days will come, friend. But I'll tell you, that cannot fill the void in the souls and the hearts of man. There's still something about my spirit, man, that cannot be satisfied with natural food. But I've got a hunger for God. I've got a thirst for God. I pant after God like the heart pants after the water brook. My soul desires Him. Oh, but hallelujah, I have found Him, the one for whom my soul longs. Woo! I'm glad there is a fountain. There's a well of living water. Where I'm glad I never have to thirst again. And I've drawn water out of the wells of salvation. And I have a joy in my heart. The world cannot give. And the devil can't take away. Woo! Bless His holy name. Well, what do you got to have this bread? What do you got to have this water? Oh, you ain't got to have nothing. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. You don't need nothing. He's done got it. All you got to do is call on Him. Amen. Hey! You couldn't have enough money to buy this bread, no how. You couldn't have enough money to buy this milk and this water of life anyway. The honey of God's too rich for your pocketbook. But I'm glad we can come to Him in our poverty. For though He was made rich, for your sakes He was made pure. How so to thank God? Through His poverty, He might be made rich. I tell you, it's available for all of us. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2 said, "Ho, everyone that thirsts has come to the waters, and he that hath no money coming by. Coming by and eat, yea, come buy milk and wine without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Taste Him, and He'll please your spirit." Amen. Matthew 5 and 6 said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know why Jesus could promise that? Because He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough for your hunger. Amen. Taste Him and He'll please your spirit. I mean, there's a spiritual famine in the land today, but there's bread for the hungry. And my friend, thank God, Jesus said that a man shall not live by bread alone in Matthew 4:4, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. John 6:48, He said, I am the bread of life. He'll come and eat bread in the wilderness and are dead. But he that eateth from me shall never die. Woo! He's sufficient to sustain us. He'll fill us and strengthen us. He'll keep us. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. Hallelujah. The manna eaters died, but He's El Shaddai, thank God. He's more than enough for life eternal. Oh, He's more than enough for your hunger, friend. Taste Him, and He'll please your spirit. I want to say He's more than enough for your trials. Test Him, and He'll pass the test. Not only is He more than enough for your hunger, taste Him, and He'll please your spirit, but He's more than enough for your trials. Test Him, and He will pass the test. Exodus 14, right after we read here, they go on, God sends the plagues. The time comes, friend, in Exodus 14, when my friend, the children of Israel, in a tight spot. They've got to the sea of the Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh behind them, and nowhere to go. It's too wide to cross it. It's too deep to get across it. It's too long to go around it. There's too many men of them soldiers behind us to survive it. We're going to die, and that's all there is to it. But old Moses stood out there, and God spoke to his heart. The El Shaddai stand. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he stretched forth his hand, and God parted the waters, and they crossed on dry ground. And my friend, they began to learn in the midst of their trials, if they would test God, God would pass the test, because He's more than enough. You believe what I'm preaching this morning? You ever put Him to the test? In the midst of your trials, you ever put Him to the test? Hallelujah. How many in the midst of your troubles have you put Him to the test? 1 Kings 19, when Elijah, I told them children of Israel, said, you've been serving Baal, and if Baal be God, then just let him be God. But if God be God, let's serve Him. He said, we go into the mountain of Carmel, the dwelling place of Baal, the house of Baal. We're going to go to your territory. We're going to give you the advantage. I've one measly prophet, you got 450 of them. I'm just one little man, you've got a whole nation. But we're going to see who's God. We're going to find out who's El Shaddai. We're going to see who's more than enough. We're going to put them to the test and see who can pass the test. Amen. Well, bless His name. And the God that answers by fire from heaven will be the El Shaddai, the more than enough, the one that passes the test. He'll be God and we'll serve Him. You know how the children of Baal worshipped and shouted and begged God, their God, to send fire, but fire never came. But old Elijah sweetened the pot a little more. Put 12 barrels of water on his altar, thank God, and called on God, and God sent a fire and consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the rocks and lapped up the water that was in the trees and made old, thank God, old Elijah saw the God that is more than enough. And one man had a God that is more than enough with him until 450 prophets of Baal, thank God, and cast their carcasses in the river. Bless His name. I'll tell you, if you'll put Him to the test, He will pass the test. Then there's another test here. There hadn't been rain for 3.5 years. There's dust everywhere. The people are thirsting to death. The animals are starving because all of the vegetation is gone. And Elijah said, we've got to have rain. I'm going to the mountain to pray. The same God that just answered by fire, now He's asking him to answer by water. He's putting him to the test again, isn't He? Amen. Hallelujah. and began to pray for rain. He sent his servant out on the hillside. He said, go look over the ocean. Go out there and look over the Mediterranean Sea and see if you see anything. He come back and said, man, I don't see a thing. And now Elijah's on the mountainside. I can just see that old servant running all the way up there to see him come back, just slam out of breath. And just seeing it, well, go again. You kidding? No, matter of fact, go seven times. Boy, I just see him winded, man. He runs all the way down there seven times. Goes back to the sea and comes back. Look, about the fourth or fifth time, he's Elijah. There ain't going to be no clouds. I done gone five times. I'm going to have a heart. Can't you see him reacting like that? But the Bible said he went seven times. And on that seventh time, he comes back. And he said, there still ain't much. But said, I'm looking out there and there's a cloud. Talking to a man saying, hey, I like what a Rob Scholl said about it. Said it's the hand of God done reached down and scooped out some water out of the ocean, tossed it up in the air to make rain. Woo! I tell you, thank God, the Lord has passed the test. And the Bible said, he said, tell Ahab to get back to the palace. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Amen. Old Ahab jumped in his chair and yeah! Well, he took off, man. And the Bible said that that prophet of God girded up his loins, pulled his skirt, threw his legs, and took off running. He's 60-something year old, and he outrun the horse and chariot back to town. I tell you, we're serving a God that is El Shaddai. That is more than enough. He is sufficient in all your trials.
When you think it's a lost cause, when you think it's too late now, in fact, we preached on yesterday, God specializes in lost causes. It's time to give up, huh? That's just time God's fixing to go to work. As long as you got it hooked, God ain't going to do nothing. You can handle it on your own. When you run out of options, that's when He kicks in. He starts where you stop. His abilities just begin where yours end. Why? Because He's El Shaddai. He's a God that is more than enough. They sing that old Christmas song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. And not all the rest. I don't know how all that thing goes. But most of the ones that sing it's wicked and ungodly and don't even sound like they even know who He is. But I want to tell you something, friend. He's a God that's more than enough who He is. He's a God that's powerful enough to do anything and everything and save anybody and change anybody and turn any situation around. He's El Shaddai, friend. You can test Him. You can test Him and He'll pass the test. He's more than enough for your trials. Test Him and He will pass the test. I mean, friend, thank God. I want to say, friend, He passed. In Judges 6 and verse 36 through 40, God was calling Gideon. Gideon said, I'm going to lay out the fleece and let the fleece be wet tonight with dew and all the ground around it be dry. God passed the test. Next morning He said, I'm going to lay out the fleece again, let the fleece be dry, all the ground around it wet. God passed the test. In the midst of your trials, test Him. And He will pass the test. Try Him. Test Him, friend. Amen. He passed the smoke test in Daniel 3 for the Hebrew children in the fire furnace, didn't He? Amen. Come out and they smelled something, didn't even smell smoke. He passed the smoke test. He passed the lion test in Daniel 6. Oh, Daniel in the midst of that den full of hungry lions. He passed the water test for Noah in Genesis 6. He passed the prison test for Paul and Silas in Acts 16. He passed the graveyard test in Matthew 12. 28 fire Lord, when on the third glorious morning He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Woo! He passed the fly test in Acts chapter 1 as a cloud took Him off into the heavens. Amen. Hey, He's passed the test of time across the ages of time, and He's still Jehovah. He's still the I Am, and He's still more than enough.
And even now, He's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's faithful to us with that belief. And so I'll not be as them as have no hope, but I'll gaze into the heavens awaiting to hear the sound and see the sound of our Lord's return. Because He's a God that'll pass the test. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough for your hunger. Taste Him and He'll please your spirit. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough for your trials. Test Him and He'll pass the test. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough for your family. Trust Him and He'll provide the need. He's more than enough for your family. Trust Him and He will provide the need. We are the least trusting people in the whole world. I never seen nothing like it. I'd tell my little girl, she'd be on something high, I'd tell her to jump off. Daddy'd catch her, she'd just believe me. She'd just jump off, expect me to do it because I said it would. I'd tell her I got a magic band-aid that'll fix a boo-boo. I put it on the boo-boo, and if it ain't well in a little bit, she'll still know that it's going to get well because Daddy said it would. She trusts me. She believes what I tell her. Went into Disney World down there and went in the Barrett Jamboree. Had one of them old nasty jukeboxes on the side. Demon-possessed machines. Grace, about 2 years old, she asked me, she said, "What is that, Dad?" I said, "Boy, you don't want to fool with that girl." "Why?" I said, "That's a terrible thing." I said, "That's an awful machine." I said, "You don't want to mess with that. You don't mash them buttons." I said, "If you go over there..." She said, "Let's put a quarter in it, mash them buttons." I said, "Babe doll, we ain't put no quarter in that thing, mashing no stinking buttons." "Why?" So how are you supposed to explain to a two-year-old that the music's ungodly and wicked? I said, "Babe doll, if you put a quarter in that and go to mashing them buttons, quit. That's the only thing I can think of, Brother Brock. I had to think of something fast." I said, "Man, if you put a quarter in that and go to mashing them buttons, boogers is going to splash out everywhere." I said, "You ain't never seen the mess that that thing's going to spray out all over the walls and the ceiling. It's going to be awful the mess we're going to have if you mash that machine right there." It's 2 years later. We went to Waffle House one day. She looked over there and she said, "That thing right there spits out boogers, don't it, Dad?" Amen. I mean, friend, why in the world don't we learn to trust God like that? Count on Him like that. Now listen, somewhere along the way, Dad's going to fail her. Somewhere along the way, she's going to count on me. And humanity is going to limit me and my flesh is going to limit me from being able to do everything that I need and want to be able to do for her. Oh, but you can count on God. You can trust Him. He will never fail you. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. Whoa, your family needs something. Your family's in trouble. Your family needs help. Man, why in the world do you try to keep doing it by yourself? You learn to trust God. And my friend, trust God. And He will provide the need. Amen. Oh, we want to take it on our shoulders and do it ourselves, and we ain't done such a good job of it so far. I don't know what makes us think we're going to handle it from here on out. The biggest mess is what we've already made of things. I don't know. We're the ones that get us in most of our tight spots, most of our troubles. We're the one that caused most of the messes we got, and somehow or another we think we can get ourselves out of it. When we're the one got ourselves into it, I'll tell you, we'll need help from God. Trust Him, and He'll provide the need. I want to say He'll provide for your family when you're in poverty. Somebody said, "Preacher, we ain't got no money." I didn't bother God none. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And we're His heirs and joint heirs with Him. Now, you won't live a life of luxury and life of rally all the time. You may not have the biggest house in the block. And that might be why you're in such a hard time paying your bills now, is you're trying to live above your means. But I want to say, even if you made your own bed, that the Lord's got sympathy for you while you lay it in it. Amen. He's got a heart for us. He's got compassion for us. Amen. Man's made his own bed by living in sin. And my friend, sin that's brought on our lives is because of us making our own bed. But God's got compassion for us. Even when you make your own bed, God's got compassion. And He's more than enough when it comes to your family's finances, in your poverty. I mean, He's more than enough. Last Sunday night, we had this bill was coming around. Some of them said, "Oh, we need to start paving the parking lot and so forth." And Brother Eddie over there had to get this thing going and says,
I've donated $1,000 and said, I'll pledge it, said, come sometime between now and May. And I told him I wanted it by March. And he said, well, said, we'll do what we can. And some of them said, Brother John said, he'd match it, one or two of them said, they'd give $1,000. And I volunteered $1,000. I got home, Sonny said, as she was in the nursery keeping the babies. And she said, what'd you, somebody said, you give $1,000 something tonight. And she didn't get here. And I told her, I said, yeah, we're going to pay the parking lot. Got to have it sometime before March. She said, but we ain't got $1,000. I said, I know we don't have $1,000. We'll come over there somewhere for March. Amen. Monday morning, got down in the office. Now listen, I ain't going to tell you that God sent me $1,000. It didn't work like that. But Monday morning, got down at the office. And I wasn't expecting a check from Southern Farm Bureau. But when I got there at the office, I had a piece of mail. I thought it was probably another one of them. I returned requests wanting more information on some policy I'd written. I opened that thing up and they said, you have qualified for this year's industry awards. I looked at my sales record. Didn't look like I'd qualified. But they said I qualified. And I was due a bonus of $200. I said, well, one-fifth of it's here and I'm awaiting on the other 80%. Woo! I'll tell you, if you'll trust Him, God will provide the need. Amen. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. By Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, when you're in poverty, 2 Kings 4, the woman came and told Elisha, she said, my boys is going to have to go into slavery to pay off their daddy's debts. He's died. I can't go to work. They're going to take my boys, her bond slaves, to pay off the debts. What am I going to do? And Elisha said, what do you got? She said, all I've got is a pot of oil. He said, go borrow all the pots and the vessels as you can. She went and borrowed him. He said, now pour it out. But wait a minute, Elisha, this is all I've got. I've got to save it. I've got to preserve it. This is my last dollar. I can't put it in an offering plate. This is my last ounce of energy. I can't use it for God. This is my last day on earth. I'm going to please myself. He said, take what you've got and pour it out. And she poured it out. I'll tell you, it's a year with it. If he spilled out for God, you'll never see God doing it. Thing. But if you'll get spilled out and let God take over, you'll trust Him and He will provide the need. Amen. Ain't that right, Brother Charles? Brother Charles spent time employed and unemployed, and partially employed and wholly employed, and some employed and not employed. And he worked in Florida and Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee and Mississippi and South Carolina and wherever else he could find work. Pennsylvania, New York, Michigan, all the mean people lives in Michigan. And they had to be some tight spots. But he never complained, never said a word. He'd never come around and say, preacher, you know what? We're in awful shape. We're broke. We got to have some money. Why don't you give me some money? Why don't you see if you can get church, give me some money? We need some groceries. Somebody come over here and feed me, right? Never come back to church again. All that kind of stupid stuff. You know what he did? He trusted God. And I'm sure those days he doubted God too. That's normal. But he trusted God. He got a job now. Paying off his bills, giving his tithes, serving God. And the future's looking better than the past. Because God provides the needs. If you'll be broken and spilled out, God will supply the needs. She poured them pots of oil out, and after a while, she kept filling the pots up. She didn't have but a half empty pot to start with. She kept filling full pots up. And the boy handed her one. She said, get me another. And he says, Mama, they ain't no more. Done filled up all the pots. She looked and shook her pot, and she still has much oil she started out with. Somebody said that defies the laws of reason, laws of nature, laws of science. God ain't confined to them laws. Yeah.
Because he's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. Amen. Thank God. And he come to Elijah and said, Elijah, what are we going to do? And Elijah said, go and sell it. And she sold it, my friend. And all the way down to the bank, counting her money to pay off her son's debts. I'm sure she must have thought, man, God's more than enough. He's sufficient. If you'll trust Him, He'll provide the need. When your family's in poverty, He'll provide the need. Thank God, He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. God saved me, called me to preach, put me in the ministry when I was 13 years old. And when I was 17, started pastoring. Well, I started pastoring the week before I was 17. 16 year old, took my first church and been there as interim for 3 months before then. And then on Valentine's Day, the Lord sent Sonia by my way that year. And we got married about a year and a half later. I asked her to marry me about, 3 or 4 weeks after we went on our first date. I knew, hey, it didn't take me long to figure out what I needed right there. I mean, I was satisfied. Ain't no use of looking no further when you done found what you want. Amen. And so we got married then. And I was a pastor at a little church, working a part-time job, trying to go to school. And I was taking a full load in college down at West Georgia and working about 40, 50 hours a week, pastoring church. And was trying, my friend, to get me another job between 12 at night and 6 in the morning because I didn't have nothing to do during them hours. And thank God, but the time come along that, friend, she got laid off her job. They shut the company down. And my friend, after they shut that company down, went over to Howard's Union Hill, resigned over there. So what little income had coming in from there was gone, at $150 a week, which was the most I was making anywhere, was that $150 a week. And so they shut that off because I resigned church there, and they wouldn't be ugly to me. I just resigned church, so I just shut that off. That's what you do. If you ain't pastoring there no more, you don't pay them no more. And so that is gone. And I went in the next week with the Charles, and I was working 40 and 50 hours trying to get home much money as what I could. But I still technically part-time, and they was getting in trouble for working me so much part-time. Me making them overtime hours and things. Hey, you know, they're paying me so much, $4.50 an hour. I mean, I was making so much and all. It's just bankrupting that big old bank. And my friend, they called me in there and said, we're laying off. So there's 26 people in your department. We're laying off 25 of them, and you're the only one we're keeping. I said, man, I'm doing pretty good right now. But they said, now we got to cut your hours down. Says, you're just part-time. You've been working 50 hours. We got to cut you down. You can't work no more than 18 hours between now and the end of the year. Now I got to figure out how to pay all the bills on on 18 hours a week at $4.50 an hour for my family. Amen. And I thought, man, this is a mess. I don't know what we're going to do. The car broke down. I was coming back from Alabama that night, preaching out there. That thing hiccuped and spit and sputtered and coughed. I could have pneumonia all the way to the house. Had both of the cars had 200,000 miles on them. I said, Lord, you got to do something. You want me to preach? You got to do something. He said, well, said, you got money in the bank? Go buy a car. And so I had money in the bank. I'd saved up before we got married. Boy, you better save it beforehand because you ain't a saving it afterwards, buddy. And so I took that money, had about $6,000 in the bank. I knew on $150 a week or so, $130 a week, I wasn't going to be able to make a payment on nothing. I mean, I couldn't have made it if it was $10 a month. And so I took that money out of the bank account and paid cash on that car and bought me a little Ford Tempo Brother Eddie had and Sister Thomas and Tony had. After it was all over with, and my friend, everybody had it around here, I think, rode for a little while. And that car run without a motor in it, man. It'd take off and go. And God met the need with it. But even still, son, said, what are we going to do? You ain't making no money. You spent every bit of money we had in the bank account on that car. I said, baby, if we're going to preach, we got to have money to go, or we got to have a car to ride in. She said, but we ain't going to be able to buy gas to put in it. And man, I was wondering what in the world we're going to do. What's God going to do? How's He going to come through? And what happened? We was in our service at Union Hill at the time. And somehow or another, the Lord just laid it on my heart. Go over to Pine Ridge tonight. To the Wednesday night meeting, and I went. Me and Sonia, we went through the meeting. It was a pretty good meeting. After the service got over with, we went out to get in the car. Wayne Matthews, the guy that I led to the Lord 3 nights after I got saved. I witnessed to him, led him to the Lord, and thank God he got gloriously saved. And he come chasing me out the door out there. And here's a kid in college himself, working for about 4 1/4 an hour down at New Georgia store, checking gas at night and so forth, and not making no money himself, but he chased me down out in the parking lot. He said, I got to hug you, Nick, and tell you I love you. Let you know God's been a deal with my heart. heart all day about giving you something. And if you hadn't come to my house, I was going to drive down to your house to see you. He put it in my hand. It's dark. I didn't take a look at him. Put it in my pocket. Thought it was probably a $5 bill. That's about all me and him could afford to do anything on. Got out there in the car and pulled it out. Took a look at it. And then, man, it had a $50 bill in my hands. I mean, somebody said, that don't sound like much, man. It looked like a bale of cotton right then. I'll tell you, if you'll trust God, He is the El Shaddai. He'll supply your need. He's more than enough. Trust God. Trust Him. Trust Him. He'll provide the need. Trust Him, my friend, in your poverty. I want to say to you, trust Him when you're pleading to Him. The sons of Rizpah were hung up to die in 2 Samuel 21. But she spread out her. Hey, man, they're supposed to stay there. See, they're supposed to stay there hanging. And the birds is going to come and eat their flesh off their bodies. Hanging. Ain't got time to preach the whole story. But the Bible said she spread out a blanket on a rock. Amen. I'll tell you, when you're pleading for your children, that's dead in trespasses and sin, that don't yet know God, I don't know of a better place than to set up housekeeping, to make camp on the rock of ages, and stay there until God shows up. Woo! And she couldn't bring life back to him, but she stayed there and fought the buzzards off until the rainy season came and the king heard about it. I'll tell you, thank God, if you'll stay on the rock long enough, pray for your youngest that's lost. The rain will fall. The Holy Ghost will come. The King of Glory will hear about it. The God that's more than enough will hear your prayers. And God will provide the need. Hey, He hadn't answered it in my hand yet, but in my heart He has. And I just keep a staying on the rock of saying, God save my youngins. Touch my girls and change their lives. I'm glad God will provide the need. Trust Him and He'll provide the need. When you're in poverty, when you're pleading, when you're pressured, He'll provide the need. Genesis 22, Abraham takes Isaac on the mountain as the Lord has commanded to sacrifice him. And Isaac didn't understand. He said, Father, we've got the wood and we've got the stones for the altar, but where's the sacrifice? Got the fire. But Abraham said, Son, my Lord will provide Himself a sacrifice. I don't imagine that Isaac understood when his father was tying him up and putting him on the altar to be divided and cut up asunder for the offering. I don't imagine Isaac understood it. I don't imagine Abraham understood it. But Abraham trusted God when he didn't understand it. And Abraham was under pressure. Has there been anybody under pressure that day? Abraham was under pressure. God stopped him. Had a ram caught in the bushes. And God did provide Himself a sacrifice. There's a lot of things in your life and mine that God will have us to do that you don't understand, and your children and family sure don't understand.
Yes.
Your kids won't understand why they can't dress like everybody else does. How come it is that they don't get to put things in their ears and noses and snouts and so forth like everybody else does? Why it is that they don't go to places that everybody else goes?